In this world we live in, there's runners and there's fighters. All your fists is on fighter, and I know one when I see one.
Hey, thanks for checking out the podcast, the 4-Step Program. Now, this is a cool one because I found a friend on Netflix. I know it sounds weird. So I was watching Love is Blind on Netflix, binging like most of the country has already. By the way, Love is Blind is a reality show on Netflix where you have to date people without ever seeing them. So you talk to each other through these like walls in these pods, and you go on these dates, and then you have to decide if you're going to be engaged by the time you get out without ever seeing this person. And then if you get engaged, then they send you on these little trips and they put you in the same rooms and they make you live together and you have about 30 days till the wedding and see how that works out. So that's kind of the gist of that. And a friendly face popped up on the screen. I was like, wait a second. I know him. A friend of mine, when I lived in Atlanta, his name is Matt. He actually runs a charity boxing event that gives people that are first-time boxers an opportunity to hop in the ring and fight for a really good cause. So everybody's attached to a charity, and years ago, I was supposed to fight in that. I was actually supposed to fight my best friend, Brett, who, obviously would have destroyed, in case you're listening, Brett. But I couldn't fight because I sparred with somebody that was like Floyd Mayweather about 10 days before, and I got my nose broken before the show, before the actual fight, so I wasn't able to fight, and I ended up hosting the event, which was super cool. So I was still involved, and that allowed Brett to win his fight, because he fought somebody that wasn't me, which is cool, whatever, in case Brett's listening. but Matt is the guy who's been throwing this event, Brawl for a Cause, and he's been doing it year after year after year. It's been growing and growing and growing. So I saw him on this. I was like, oh man, I gotta know. And he tells us a lot of the behind the scenes things that happen that you don't know about. There's some things that you're allowed to do with your partners or the people in the pods. So Matt tells me a lot of things that happen behind the scenes when the cameras are either off or things that they just never aired. And plus, there was a whole story that he was wrapped up in. He didn't get a lot of time on the air, which happens in reality TV all the time, as I know personally, American Ninja Warrior. But there's footage out there, and there is like stuff in the vault, and there was a whole love story that I did find an article about him and somebody that he did fall in love with, and so did another guy. And then there were alliances. It was a whole thing. So he's going to tell us about those too. Most shocking thing that I heard, I think, from him behind the scenes, how the producers set up and I don't want to use the word manipulated, but coerced the conversations to go in certain ways, which you assumed happened, but how they did was pretty interesting to me. So we're going to jump into the podcast. If you watch Love is Blind, I think you're going to like this. You're going to hear a lot of familiar names and probably go, oh, a lot throughout it. So this is Matthew Thomas. He's from Atlanta. He was on and one of the contestants on Love is Blind. Matthew.
What's up, Scotty?
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Dude, the last time I saw your face was on my plane ride accidentally while watching Netflix. What the That was
your voice, man. It's been too long.
I want to know all about it. I'm so intrigued by this day. I haven't finished it yet, and I don't. And I'm not. I'm okay with spoilers. I'm like 5 episodes into Love is Blind, and where am I at? I think they are just about to. They are just about to go ahead and move in together.
Okay, so they're leaving Mexico. They're yes. Moving into the real world.
Yes, yep. Yes. Have you watched the whole thing?
About to get real.
Yeah. Have you watched the whole thing through?
Oh yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
I was a little mad that you didn't get a lot of TV time, but I also know how reality TV works, so that could have also been by your choice, right?
It's an interesting combination of a little bummed because
right.
I did have an amazing experience on the show.
Well, when
and
they
it would have been cool to see all that play out, but there's also a part of me that is relieved.
When did they? They filmed it a couple years ago, though, right?
About a year and a half ago, yeah. So
when was it?
2018, and okay. Like the last part of 2018. So there's a couple of articles out there that confirm the exact dates. But yeah, it's like fall of 2018.
For sure. Super weird for the people that are with somebody totally different that had to go back and watch the show with them, probably.
Yeah, right? Kenny's one of those people. So
who is?
You know, Kenny Barnes. So
yeah,
Kenny and Kelly. So yeah, I mean, it is interesting kind of hearing through him, like how he and his now girlfriend talked, you know, leading up to the show and And you know, the things that he said to Kelly on the show, like imagining them watching it together.
Right. And God forbid he said the same things to his new girlfriend at any point. Like, oh, I've heard that before. Like, oh, no, no, it was, I didn't recycle anything, I swear.
Exactly.
Yikes. How did you connect with, did you audition? Did they find you?
So they initially reached out. It's right. The same production company, big production company that does Married at First Sight, like an international reality show.
You didn't do
TV
that
show,
did you?
No, but oh, okay. The same company, Kinetic Content, they're casting, whoever they outsource casting to reach out to me via Instagram. And right. A lot of the other cast members, too, it was either Instagram or dating apps. But I'm not on any dating apps, so...
Right.
They reached out on Instagram. They were like, hey, we're coming up with a response to The Bachelor. We want it to be the anti-dating app, anti-modern dating kind of show. So instead of window shopping for human beings on some app and having connection based off of appearance and, you know, a few lines in a bio, we want to do the opposite. We want to take appearance out of the equation, and we want to see if human connection can occur based off of past experiences, core values, vision to the future. And I was hooked because that's right up my alley. I mean, I totally resonated with the mission of the show.
Yet they found you on a completely visual app. The irony of that. That's how they do a lot of those castings now. I met a casting director in Dallas, and literally her job was to sit at home and look at people on Instagram and see who fits whatever they're looking for. Like, she's like, some days I just sit and look for complete douchebags on Instagram, and there you go, I gotta cast them. Or sometimes I look for people that are totally showing their butt the whole time, and that's their job, is they just sit at home and scroll Instagram and shoot them some DMs.
Yeah, honestly, it's a great way to find people. You don't have to send out this application, you don't have to cull through a lot of them. You get to kind of see who someone is based off their bio and what they share to the world.
Yeah.
And then you have a direct line of communication with them right off the bat. So I totally get the efficiency side of it. And,
yeah. And they want those genuine, those people that are genuinely those humans, not people acting because they want to be actors. This is who they are. This is who they are in their life, or at least their Instagram life. It's perfect.
100%. Yeah. But, you know, after they reached out, I did a little homework and asked a lot of questions, and they told me it was going to be, you know, a really big budget project by Netflix. And, and that was the kind of the straw that broke the camel's back, because I was still kind of on the fence on whether or not to do it. But as soon as they said it was Netflix, I was open and intrigued by the love experiment side, but there was a ton of other reasons that I went on the show.
Right. So I want to start. Well, one, I think Netflix has solidified themselves as somebody that, one, they're going to go after anything that's making money on network TV, and they're going to go for the throat. And they are good at making reality TV content, probably better than they are movies. Like, I watched Love is Blind. I never saw The Irishman. You know,
right. Yeah, true.
So, and that thing, you know, won Oscar. So I do think that, you know, Netflix is solidifying its space in the reality TV world. I want to talk about the experience, because I think it's so interesting, because what you see, and I know from being on reality TV, that what you see is not always what is happening, and how it all transpires. So you started in there. Where? How long were you? Like, was it? Were you totally on the show? Were you secluded from reality?
So about 12 days.
Okay, so 12 days in your little house.
Yeah. So the experiment itself was 10 days. When you know, it looks like a house, but really we're at Pinewood Studios, south of Atlanta. They turned the second largest audio studio in the world into the facility that you see, and they rented out that audio studio because this is an audio based. So we're going to know each other only through each other's voices. So
right.
there's guys on one side of the house, girls on the other side of the house, a big partition down the middle with 10 sound pods that we would walk into at various points throughout the day and go on these dates. And so for my part of the show, I was only a part of the experiment, because I didn't actually get engaged on the show and go through the rest of Mexico and living
right.
together and going to the altar. So
let's start with that experiment there, because so you go in this house and then you start going on these dates. Tell me about, like, the first date you went on.
So the first day, everyone is all, like, jittery, right? Like, everyone has been worried about this for weeks. We just met Nick Lachey. He just told us we're going to be trying to find the love of our life through a wall.
Who, by the way, Nick Lachey was on the show about as much as you were. to be fair.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of us are like, what's about to happen here? And the first day is 15 dates, 7 minutes each. So we date every single person on the other side of the house in a speed dating kind of format. So we really only get one question to determine if we want to see that person the next day.
Before we go further, are you not allowed to tell certain things still? Because I know you signed your life away with those things, but now that's already aired. Like, what are there still boundaries that you have?
So I can talk about anything that's already public in the public.
Okay.
So there are some things that, you know, maybe I can't share in great detail, but I can kind of allude to.
Sure.
And there's a lot of stuff that I can share.
The first day?
Yeah. So the first 3 days, there were 15 guys, 15 girls. And after those first 3 days, they cut 5 guys and 5 girls that weren't really connecting or playing well on TV or whatever their criteria was.
Oh, they got rid of them after the first dates, because you don't see that on the show. You just assume everybody goes through the whole process.
And that's part of what we as cats were surprised by. It's like all of us had exit interviews with Nick and Vanessa. All of us had these storylines,
right,
where it's like we found love, we didn't find love. We liked someone, but they didn't like us back. They chose someone else. Like there were all these, you know, hundreds or thousands of hours of footage that is just locked up in a Netflix vault somewhere.
Yeah, that's going to, you know, that happens with most reality shows, you assume, but I didn't know they cut people right in the middle. So did you made it all the way to the end of that first round then?
Yeah, I did. I made it to proposal day because of the article that you found. both Rory and I fell for Danielle, and Danielle had feelings for both of us.
And did you guys know, did you and Rory know at the time, like living in that house, that you were both going for the same girl?
So I did, and he didn't. So one of the commitments that I made to myself and to my, you know, inner circle before I went on the show is that I wasn't going to drink, because I knew that alcohol was probably going to lead to regretful words said or actions taken.
Well,
on the
I did
show
notice
from
that they
members.
Yeah, that they did have that bar card in there, and that most people went right for that. And I, you know, being part of reality TV, whatever it was, even some of the housewives stuff we see, like they feed you the alcohol because they know it makes good TV. So they right off the bat probably put a check mark by your name, going, "This guy's trying to play the game."
Maybe. You'd have to ask them.
I guarantee they did, dude. I will say that they watched that kind of stuff for sure, because they want drama. I mean, unless you ended up surprising them, I bet that they put a little check mark by there, because you should have went and just pretended, like poured the water, but pretended it was like the vodka.
Yeah, I was holding a beer every once in a while, you know.
Sure.
but I knew that I didn't want to get anywhere close to drunk or inebriated in any way. So that was one thing. The other thing is...
Okay, so your first date, can you share who your first date was with?
Yeah, so the first day with Danielle. And
okay.
it immediately, like, I just got goosebumps when I said her name. Like, it immediately rocked my world when I talked to this girl, because we had just gotten back from the same place abroad. I had been living in Costa Rica. She had just gotten back from, like, the same little town that I was in. She's a yoga instructor. I'm a yoga instructor. She's in the event industry. I'm in the event industry. We just had so much common ground in 7 minutes. And so I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, I came onto this show for all these kind of admittedly ulterior motives, right? Like, I want to learn reality TV. I want this to benefit my nonprofit. But
you were not looking for love, to be honest, like when you're going into this, were you open to it? Okay.
But open to it and looking for it are two different things.
That's fair.
Open to the experiment.
So you connected with Danielle. Before we go, like, where that went, were there people that, like, right off the bat, you're like, nope, like, seconds in?
Yeah. So Amber was pretty polarizing for me.
Yeah, was she? Okay, I could see that.
Amber kind of went, like, a sexual route immediately with me, and I was like, I know
really?
My mom's going to be watching this.
You just sat down, and she was like, yo, how big is it?
Not that exact question.
Okay.
Pretty much along those lines. I mean, she very much is the same way as what we just talked about being herself immediately, right off the bat, super direct, no filter. And so her version of that with me just wasn't a fit. Like,
sure.
She was one of the people that she probably rated me low because I didn't really play along with her. And I rated her low after the first day, so we didn't see each other after day one.
Now, when you rate somebody low, do you assume you're never going to see them again, or does it
yes.
Okay, so even if they rate you really high?
Now, so I didn't have insight into how they dual math. Like, I didn't see any of the girls' lists, but in general, the people that I prioritized, I saw the next day. But that wasn't true for everyone. Like, other guys on the show really liked some girls that they put as their number one or two.
Gotcha.
And they didn't even see them the next day. So sometimes there was a misalignment there. You know, they don't show all the facilitation that went into the experiment part because every day had a theme. The first day we were talking about hobbies and speed dating. The next day we were talking about career. The next day we were talking about upbringing and childhood.
Oh, okay.
The next day we were talking about finances, and then we went through, and then we started talking about sex, and then we started talking about religion.
So these conversations were more manufactured than they show. You actually had to talk about certain things certain days. They weren't just open and see what happens.
They were strong suggestions, and they were informed by a PhD in behavioral psychology and matchmaking that really helped structure the show. So one of the executive producers, this is her life's work. Like this whole social experiment was like her baby.
You're part of her fun little game.
I get to be a mouse in a lab.
Yeah, no kidding.
But that's the part that intrigued me most, because some of the conversations I have with these people, you know, 4 or 5 days in, are conversations that some of my friends who have been in relationships for 2 or 3 years haven't had yet. So when people doubt, like, you know, how can you get that close that fast? How can you be that sure? Well, all we were doing all day, every day was dating and having these deep conversations about things that matter. We weren't wasting time, you know, getting drunk and going out and dancing. We weren't wasting time, you know, just having the usual superficial dating experiences. We were a one-track mind. Is this person the one that I'm going to propose to through a wall or not?
Yeah, that, you know what? That's interesting, too, because those are the things that you don't talk about for a while, right? You may not, might not talk about religion on the first date, or whether you want to have kids, or some of your family problems, or any of that stuff. Those are things that, you're right, like, it might come 3 months in, or 3 dates in, or 5 dates in, or something like that. And now you're forced to talk about these things that are hard to talk about.
Totally, yeah. They could make or break whatever this is. And a lot of people are scared to have those conversations early because, you know, they don't want to lose this person. But one change in my personal life since the show is now, whether it's friendship, whether it's a potential romantic partner, I go deep immediately. I show all of who I am right off the bat, because why waste either of our time?
Right. So you've adopted that experiment into your regular day.
1,000%.
What was the biggest surprise for you when you watched the show back? So you're like, oh, I didn't know. Either you didn't know something was happening, or you had a different perception of something.
Honestly, it was the Barnett thing.
The Barnett thing?
Yeah, Barnett was such a bro on our side, and he was almost kind of like reserved. Like he wasn't like he was in the dates on, like, when the guys were just hanging out.
Really?
You know, he was funny and stuff, but like no one knew that he was connecting with everyone until the very end when he was like, you know, causing all this drama on the girl side, right? So to actually see him in the dates, I was like, oh, like, I totally get it now. Because, like, on the show, I was like, why are all these girls so bored that? Like, I don't really get it.
That's so funny. So behind the scenes, yeah, so he was playing it real chill with all the guys.
Yeah, he was. And you know, he was everyone's friend, and it was cool. He was a different person in the pods, for sure. Like, he turned on this, you know, connection engine, this, you know, this charisma that is really attractive.
Right.
And I also don't think you see all of Damien on the show. Like, Damien and I butted heads day one. Like I thought we were going to fight at some point.
Really?
He was drinking the first night, kept everyone up all night, 'cause we were doing these shared like bunk houses. Really, like, boisterous, like, alpha male, beating his chest kind of thing. Just, it was, like, overperforming. And the second day I went up to him, I was like, listen, man, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon. We all need our sleep. We need to band together here. Like, this isn't, like, a pissing contest. We aren't trying to, like, you know, like, outshine anyone else. Like, let's just get through this. And then after that, we started kind of building a relationship where One of the ways that he proposed to Giannina was he wrote a poem to her, and I helped him write the poem. At a certain point, I was getting really behind on sleep and kind of like a rough place with the whole Danielle thing. And he, you know, like gave me his eye cover and gave me a massage, and I ended up sleeping on the couch in the you know, facility during the day. And so we just formed this friendship. And the biggest thing that humanized and really put Damien in a positive light for me was he has a little brother who has cystic fibrosis. And Damien has never smoked a cigarette, never done drugs, takes really good care of himself physically. You can tell from the show he's a really fit guy.
Right.
And the reason that he's doing that is because at any day, at any time, his brother could need a lung transplant. And Damien has already found out that he's a match for his little brother. So he keeps himself just always ready to be able to give his little brother a lung, to add another 5 to 10 years to his little brother's life. And so, like, there's this like teddy bear, deep, really like loving part of Damien that I don't know if it really truly comes through on the show, but my favorite part about him.
It's really interesting how they put everybody through that. 15 dates on the first day, seven. I think it's really interesting. I didn't know about the time limit, because they don't show that you have like a 7 minute time limit, and they just show you sitting down and you're writing your little notes and you're going through. Did you have to study like before your dates? Did you have to go through and be like, oh yeah, this person and this? I mean, you probably didn't have to with Danielle, but with people that you were still getting to know or learning, was that a thing that was happening
for sure.
In the, like, guys are like doing their studying, comparing notes and stuff?
Yeah. And it was almost like, it was kind of like a pissing contest on the guy side. I was like, oh, well, she told me this about her. Did you get that out of her? You know, like that kind of stuff. And then, so that was a component, and that's part of why I didn't want to talk about dates and get caught up in that.
That's interesting. Another
game that everyone played was, could you guess who someone was based off of voice? And that started like on day like 2, 3, like very early on. So we'd walk in and say hello, and then guess who each other were instead of just coming out and saying it. So,
that's fun.
And it was kind of tough with certain people, but it, you know, especially as the list narrowed down, it became really easy.
Yeah. Did you guys, were there any other weird challenges that you guys gave, like side bets, things like that were going on?
Well, the thing that just came to mind is there was an ability to send gifts back and forth. And that's something that wasn't shown on the actual Netflix series, but it was something that was really important, because it was one of the only ways to show another love language besides, you know, words of affirmation or you know, being vulnerable with someone. You could actually send them a thoughtful gift.
What kind of gifts? What would, I mean, like?
So on the same day, Danielle gave both Rory and I a gift. And the gift that she gave me was a yoga mat, and we did a full yoga flow led by her in our date. So, you know, synchronized breath, going through all these positions, doing something that we both love to do together. It was really cool.
So could you give anything, like you could pick and the producer would go find it, or did you have like, was it like a Sky Mall magazine that you know, like flip through and...
Even better. I mean, like if we could, like if they could find it on Amazon or go down the street to Walmart or whatever, like we could get anything. We could decorate the pod. There's another couple, Wesley and Lexi, and Lexi decorated the pod for Wesley, like Christmas. So there's like Christmas lights and a little tree.
Oh, that's
and,
cool. I noticed like, some of them look different sometimes, and I didn't, it didn't click why at that point, but that's really interesting. So there are things you could do to get a little bit of an advantage in different ways.
Totally.
if you put the effort in that they didn't show on TV. They kind of led it to believe that it was only this one way. But there were some things like the decorating, the gifts.
Oh, we had game nights. You could play Battleship. You know, Battleship is basically Love is Blind, just with, you know, sinking ships.
Like you would play Battleship like games with the person in the other pod with the girls.
100%. Yeah.
So you could play
board games. You could do art together and then send the art.
So really?
Like, you could have like paint and a canvas, and there's people that like paint it what they thought the other person looked like, or paint it something that was meaningful to them and send it to the other person. Like, there's a ton of really cool stuff. Like I said, like I wish they showed more of the experiment, because I really thought that was the beautiful part of it all.
Was there tension in the room? Like, serious thought two people were going to kill each other tension? Or was it's because they made it seem like everybody just got along. And I was like, there's no freaking way.
For this show, that's what happened. So everyone everyone bonded in a really strange way. It's almost like a Stockholm syndrome kind of thing.
Yeah,
like
we were going through something weird together.
It was shared experience. And it was like it was almost like an us versus them kind of thing too. We all kind of bonded together and we're like, we're going to get through this together. We're going to find the loves of our lives. We're going to stay friends and we're not going to let, you know, stuff blow up. And there were a few moments of heat and they showed a few of those. Like I think Mark is one of those where he's like, I'm not second fiddle, you know, kind of thing. But that was more directed at like the experiment and maybe at Jessica more so than Barnett. It's like Mark and Barnett never actually got into it, you know?
Right,
and
those
were the two
sense.
People probably most likely to do it over Jessica.
I'm sure they would have loved if that happened.
right.
Danielle Doran, is that her?
Yeah.
Oh, there's pictures Danielle of her with this Drill. Other dude. Who's this other? Is Rory? Who's this guy? I don't know this guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Ready for a story?
Yeah, I'm ready for. Okay, so you get out of this pod. You got 7 minutes. You're like, this girl. Now, do you know, but you still had to go through all the other dates, right, through that day?
Totally, yeah. And all the way up until the second to last day, I was still dating multiple people, even though Danielle was my number one since day one.
So no connection. You didn't feel any love connections with other people.
Well, what I ended up doing was kind of like strategic. I knew that other people had fallen in love with other guys. So the people that I chose to prioritize in my dates were people that I knew were already paired up. So Lauren and Cameron are two that immediately knew that, like, hey, my soulmate's on the other side of that wall. I don't need to date anyone else. So Lauren and I actually dated until the very last day because we were both safe for each other. We could just be friends and talk about Cameron, talk about Danielle.
Oh.
There was no kind of tension or pressure or anything.
Interesting. Okay. So you're creating this alliance basically with her.
Kind of. Yeah. But, you know, the show doesn't show like any of that experiment part. Like they really just get right onto the track of the people that get engaged. And just like show the major plot points along the their love stories. That was one thing. The other thing is I wasn't going to talk about my dates. I knew that a lot of drama was going to stem from a bunch of guys going after the same group of girls. And so I didn't want to get caught up in any of that fighting over, you know, territorial BS. Right?
Did the guys resent you for not talking about it? Because they probably wanted the information.
Well, see, that's the other thing. On reality TV, everyone wants to talk. Right? Like, so all I had to do was ask open-ended questions and listen. And no one was really pushing me on talking about who I was connecting with. They wanted to talk about who they were connecting with and who they are and everything like that.
Distractions, so, sleight of hand. Misdirections, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for just curiosity, you know, like what's going on with you? How are your days? And so I found out that Rory was rating Danielle number one, too. And I kind of saw this collision course coming. So one night after we had our mics taken off, after we were off camera, we were back in the hotel. I went to Rory's room.
Were you guys on? Were you guys mic'd up? How long throughout the day? Like, what was that?
Depends on the day, but I mean, the most we were mic'd up was like 22 hours. The least we were mic'd up was probably 16 to 18 hours.
That's still okay. So most of the day. So really, just to sleep, they take the mics off.
Correct.
Okay,
yeah.
So you sneak out.
We have a breakfast, we have a shower, and then we're mic'd up.
Okay, so like it's like camp. Like you went to bed, and then you snuck out of your bunk and went over to Rory's room.
Yeah, and no cell phone, no laptop, no, you know, they took the TVs out of our room or the clickers out of our room. So like we had no sort of distractions. We were a one-track mind trying to find the love of our life on this crazy show.
Okay, so you snuck into Rory's room.
He opens the door. He looks a little confused. I'm like, hey, man, we need to talk. And I tell him what I already know, which is both of us have fallen for Danielle. And he's a little shocked. He thought that it was just him and her. And I tell him, look, they're going to expect us to compete. Like they see me as I had just won the chess boxing world championship. I'm a fighter. I'm an athlete. I'm a competitor. And Rory's a competitive gamer. So, you know, they look at our two personalities and they expect us to go at it. But I proposed something to him. I was like, listen, what if we, instead of being on Team Man and Team Rory, what if we were on Team Danielle? what if we just showed her as much of ourselves as we could and painted a vision of the future and let her choose and support whatever decision that is? Because Rory's a good guy. He was my best friend on the show. And I knew that if Danielle ended up with Rory, that they would be happy together.
Why did you end up? Why did you decide to have this conversation off mic? This would have been a great story on camera, and it may, would, I feel like it would have painted you in a really good light too.
Yeah, it seemed like a risk, especially at the time.
Okay,
because I didn't know when they were going to reveal it, so I wanted to make sure he was on the same page and this that this wouldn't backfire somehow.
Okay,
so I wanted to do it in a safe space where. If it did blow up, at least it just blew up between us and we could handle the fallout instead of it blowing up with 17 cameras pointed at us.
Okay.
So we end up making this pact. We say, okay, we're going to be on Team Danielle. We're going to not fight and show the world what this can look like if there's two guys into the same girl. And be a little bit atypical, non-traditional.
Right.
And so the next day they do this reveal, and then they pull Rory and I into an interview, and we had already gone through this.
What do you mean they did a reveal? They revealed each other, the girls to the guys.
They revealed who everyone was dating.
Oh, okay.
So they showed the list and the schedules of who you were going to date that day, and it was when it was getting more serious. We were only down to like. 5 people.
Okay.
And so the dates were getting to be like an hour long or an hour and a half long.
So at this point, you know who, like, let's say Amber and Jessica knew who they were, that they were both dating, what's his face, Barnett, but they didn't, but you don't know how it's going, right?
You just, right.
Okay.
And so when you see Mark kind of get a little heated with Barnett,
right.
So in like episode 2, maybe 3, that's that reveal day. That's right before proposal day where he was like, oh, what?
Oh,
like,
they're still dating.
Because with Barnett too, like what's going on here? And more things started coming to light that day.
Oh, interesting. So they fueled that fire a little bit. Okay.
Exactly. So Rory and I just absolutely nailed this interview. Like we had already gone through the night before. We, the producer's jaw drops, like it was so unexpected that we responded this way. And we kept that kind of, path and communication line open all the way up to proposal day.
So both of you came in with that same story of, hey, this is about her. We're going to be 100% honest. And so you guys just, you guys rolled on this same train without the producers knowing that you had this story all worked out.
Exactly, and,
okay.
And took it a step further, where we were complimenting each other.
Like, gotcha.
Hey, I don't want to be with someone that doesn't want to be with me. So if she chooses Rory, that's the right fit, and Rory's a great guy, and he's going to make her happy, and she's going to make him happy, and it's going to be awesome.
Right. No wonder they didn't show it. You guys were too nice.
Yeah. So anyway, we get to proposal day, and
were you prepared to propose on proposal day?
What? No, I wasn't.
Okay.
So, What I decided.
Because that seems crazy.
it is a little crazy. It's a total leap of faith, and I have a lot of respect for the people that did it on the show, especially
right.
those who did it knowing that it was their person. It's amazing to see someone like Cameron and Lauren find each other through this crazy experience. Because I truly believe that they're built for the long haul.
Okay, so you do. So I haven't seen all of it yet, but
sorry,
I definitely have
spoilers.
No, you can spoil it all you want, because I definitely have my like ideas. So was Rory ready to propose that day?
He was, and we kind of had another offline conversation about that, and basically once you get proposed on the show, it opens up this like second part of the contract that we signed.
Okay,
and I can't go into details about that, but I wasn't prepared to activate that part. And Rory was like, whatever, like, I love Danielle, we'll figure it out. So Rory was going to propose on proposal day, and I wasn't going to. But I had developed feelings. I'd fallen in love through a wall. And so I still needed to take some sort of shot to see if I could end up with Danielle. So
you're hoping that she says no to the proposal to him, and you guys can just go off the show and continue to build your relationship? That was the goal at that point?
Here was my proposal. So I walk in. I say, everyone else is proposing marriage. I propose we walk out of here together. I want to buy a one-way plane ticket, go start our lap around the world. And when I say forever to you, I want to mean it with all of who I am, not just you know, one of my five senses. I want to see you, smell you, taste you, touch you. I want to know with all of who I am that when I say, will you marry me, that I mean it. And she resonated with that. She believed in that, but there was a part of her that told her that she needed to hear Rory out. And not just hear Rory out, but you know, continue through this experiment because she had a positive experience, especially connecting with Rory. So she declined my proposal. And when Rory proposed, she said yes. So they got engaged on the show. And they thought that the next day that they were going to meet and then be shipped off to Mexico with all the other couples. But Netflix had only budgeted for five couples to go through Mexico engagement and marriage.
Oh.
So eight couples ended up getting engaged. So they had to cut three. And Rory and Danielle were one of the three that they cut. So what no one knows, what isn't on the show, what isn't talked about in press or anything, I guess yet, is the day after, everyone that was cut from the show met up for the first time, saw each other in person. So I met Danielle.
Huh.
And I saw her for the first time. Legs got weak, you know, was totally blown away when I heard her voice and saw it actually connected to a body.
Did she look like what you pictured her?
Not at all. I couldn't picture anything.
Yeah.
All I had was a voice. And to this day, I mean, Danielle and I are still really close. If I get on a phone call with her and I hear her voice, it still does weird things to mine.
So now everybody met up and you met each other and you saw Danielle.
Yeah, and Danielle walks in with a wedding ring on. And Rory and her are, you know, touchy-feely, kissing. Like, it's real.
It sucks,
you know?
Yeah.
We're in the real world. They're on cameras anymore, and they're together. And so the whole time on the show, we had been talking the talk. You know, we're going to be each other's friend regardless of who she chooses. So it was time for me to walk the walk and fight the fight. So I walk up to him, and I hold out my hand, and I say, hey, I'm your friend Matt. And she knocks my, you know, handshake away. She gives me a big hug. And I was like, oh, okay, that's, you know, this is how it's going to be. That's awesome. And so I give her a hug. I go up and I talk to Rory about getting cut and what happened, what they said and all that kind of stuff. And the night was really positive, save, you know, the emotions that I had when I saw Rory and Danielle together and I was catching Danielle's eye and I just didn't, you know, I didn't know exactly how to feel or what to do. So at a certain point of the night, I go to leave and Danielle stops me. She says, hey, we really need to talk. I said, okay, what do you want to talk about? And she said, well, we can't do it here. I said, okay. She said, well, I'm going on a trip, and when I get back, let's meet up. I said, okay. So she was going away for a few days with Rory. They were going to Miami to see if this would work, if it was real life or
so
not.
So they decided to just continue on their own version of the show.
Right. They took their own Mexico trip to Miami.
Right.
So I didn't know that at the time. I just thought it was kind of a sure thing, and it was time for me to move on. And so I had met a girl that summer before the show. I met her while training for chess boxing. So I met her at a chess tournament, which no one meets anyone at chess tournaments.
Right. So you met a, were you talking to that girl still, like right before you went on the show?
I wasn't. So
okay.
I let her know that I was going on the show. We had developed a connection over that chess tournament.
Sure.
But the problem was she lived in Serbia. She lived on the other side of the planet.
Oh, damn.
So we couldn't have anything real, you know? Like,
well, you had the same thing you had on the show for the first couple of dates. You could talk over the phone. Basically, that's what you had, although you just had met in person beforehand. So you've had experience with this, you know, with that kind of communication.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about it that way. But yeah. So we had been talking, but not, you know, nothing serious, no expectations, no restrictions, nothing like that. So the first thing I do the next morning when I wake up after meeting Danielle is I call this girl from Serbia and I tell her everything that happened. Hey, I fell in love through a wall. I proposed to, you know, for her to walk out of here with me. She ended up picking the other guy. And after this whole long story, the Serbian girl's only response was, so you're telling me you're not engaged? I said, no. She said, let's do a trip together. I said, are you serious? And she pulls up her laptop on the spot and books two flights to Paris and an Airbnb. And so I'm like, all right, like, let's do it. Like, I'm ready to move on. Like, I just had this crazy experience, like, Danielle's with Rory. Okay, let's do this. 3 days later, Danielle comes back from Miami. She's not wearing a wedding ring anymore. And she's wearing a gift that I'd given her during the experiment. And so when I see that, I kind of like kind of know what's coming. She says, hey, Matt, I made the wrong decision. And I want to see if this would work. And, you know, my jaw drops. I'm like, okay, like, of course I'm curious to see if this would work too. But in 2 months, I'm going to Paris with another girl. And I need, you know, I need to talk to her about this before I can do this.
Man,
you know,
what the hell? Where are the cameras for all this? Jeez. you got off the crazy show and then you went wilder.
I made my own.
Jesus. Okay. So, I don't know why you do this to yourself.
So I call Lena, the Serbian girl, and I'm like, hey, Danielle came back from Miami. Tell her the whole thing. And Lena just says, she's really, really pragmatic, really rational. She's like, will you regret coming to Paris, not exploring this option? Because I don't want you coming to Paris with regrets. I said, yeah, I think I would. She said, do what you need to do. So for 2 months, Danielle and I give it a real shot. We take trips together. We meet each other's friends and family. We build some really incredible memories together. And we get to the week before Paris.
Did you feel like those 2 months were so expedited because you guys had this expedited relationship at the beginning that, because it sounds like you did a lot in 2 months. Like, who knew, you know, I get, let alone who talks about those things in the first couple of days of dating, whom, you know, not a lot of people meet friends within the first 2 months or, you know, take trips together in the first 2 months. So it seems like all of this whole thing was super quick.
I don't think I'll ever have a relationship like the one that I had with Danielle.
The way we dated.
I mean, it was almost like we were assuming we were ending up together from the very beginning. Instead of that dating kind of like tiptoeing into the water and seeing how deep you can go, it's like we just dove all the way in.
Yeah, it's like someone gave you the end of the book, and you're like, oh, cool, let's just start here then, the middle.
Exactly. Huh. Exactly. And I think that set us up for the pain that ended up coming because, So, you know, the reason why Danielle and I connected so quickly and so beautifully is it was like talking to a mirror, you know, like instead of a mirror, appearance kind of mirror, it was like a soul kind of mirror. Like we're the same kind of person. We're on the same side of the spectrum of, you know, really loving to communicate with people, tell stories. We're into yoga, into travel, into events. All these things were the same. And I think what we both learned is that in a life partner, we were looking for someone that could kind of counterbalance us.
Yeah.
That could provide a different perspective of life and a different set of past experiences and a different kind of future. And so when it got to that conversation before Paris and we decided to be really direct and honest with each other, we decided that friendship was the way to proceed and that maybe friendship should have been, you know, it from the beginning. If we hadn't met in this, you know, crazy love experiment, if we had just met in the real world, it probably would have been a friendship. And so we know that it was going to, or we knew it was going to take time to kind of lick our wounds and heal. But we set the intention to be friends, and it took a few months after Paris, but we started, you know, meeting up and having more friendly kind of experiences, getting coffee, doing yoga together, going on hikes, that kind of thing. But she's become one of my closest friends. I mean, we see each other pretty regularly, even now.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it was. It was definitely a trip in terms of like getting there.
Yeah,
it's not how I would necessarily choose to make a new friend.
It almost became like this weird self-fulfilling prophecy that wasn't correct, right? So like you were told you were finding love. You're like, oh yeah, okay. Then what I'm feeling right now is love, but really it was a different. You weren't in love, but you loved that person as a friend. But you didn't. You were open to loving and marrying somebody, but you weren't opening to be friends with somebody almost until you tried the love thing first. It's like a weird reversal.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
So weird.
And that's one of my big takeaways from the show is they really stacked the deck with us. We went through multiple personality tests. We had interviews with psychiatrists and matchmakers, and they put people on the other side of that wall that were likely to fall for each other. Yeah. Where there's likely to be chemistry, and they facilitated all these questions, and they really set us up for success for finding love. But at the end of the day, there isn't a substitute for true chemistry, for getting together and seeing what it's actually like when you give it a shot in the real world, when there aren't cameras and rules and mics and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's beautiful to see that the experiment worked for some people. I think it proves that love can be blind, but I don't know if it's blind for everyone.
Yeah, it sounds like more they set people up for excitement and lust, and like you can't set someone up for love, but they put people in there that, okay, this person's gonna be excited about that. That's gonna trigger these emotions and these chemicals in the brain and these things. Like you could set somebody up to be excited about somebody or feel something that could mask itself as true love, which I'm sure happened with most of the people until you really got down to the nitty gritty. So yeah, of course it's good that the people are going to think they fell in love within a first date or first couple of hours, but very few probably did.
Yeah. I think there's kind of two forces at play. One is the one that you just described where they're really setting up the environment for a high potential of connection and passion and potential love. I think the other is a groupthink kind of mentality that was at play on both sides of the house. Like as soon as Cameron and Lauren fell and we looked in their eyes and knew it was real, we were like, oh, this is possible. Like up until that point, everyone was kind of dubious, kind of skeptical about what was going on. And then I remember looking in Cameron's eyes and him saying like, dude, I'm freaked out. Like I'm a scientist. I did not come on the show expecting for this to happen, but this is real. And I was like, whoa, like mind blown.
Yeah,
and it helped reinforce the feelings that I was already developing for Danielle.
That's so interesting. Yeah, they're my favorite couple. So do you think that they were the catalyst for the show moving forward, those two, huh? In behind the scenes?
I think they were the couple that that really proved the experiment could work.
Do you feel like you made any mistakes?
I don't think I don't have any regrets. I don't think I made any mistakes.
Or your judgment was off?
Yeah, I think I would have liked talking to a few of the girls more, for sure.
Yeah.
So like Elsie and I have become really good friends after the show. And she's on the volunteer team for Brawl for a Cause. She has become friends with a lot of my friends. I was talking
to Bert. She's friends with Bert's girlfriend.
Tiffany. Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah, she got screwed in that whole deal, man. I liked her.
And it's so heartbreaking seeing her exit interview and stuff too. Like, but she is such a good person, so genuine, so authentic, and I really like spending time with her. And so, you know, Elsie is someone I definitely would have spent more time with. Honestly, I think I would have spent more time with Jessica too.
Yeah.
Because a lot of what they didn't show with Jessica is she is super into life hacks, positive psychology, getting the most out of life. She's really ambitious, really successful. Like this kind of like hustle I find really attractive in Jessica. And I think we would have gotten along better, but she was another one where I think after day one or two, we were off each other's lists and I don't even remember why. So, there's people again that looking back, I was like, it would have been cool to talk to them more, especially in that kind of environment and experiment. But, there's no point in wasting time and energy looking at the past being like, what if?
What about with the girls after you met any of the girls afterwards, something that was surprising about any of them, whether it was how somebody looked or, things that they had said that you had a different perception of? I don't know. I think there's when you go through those kind of conversations with somebody and then you meet in real life, there's gotta be curveballs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the biggest curveball was meeting Danielle in person. And going through that 2 months of getting to know each other and trying to bridge this, love is blind experiment to real life. I also think I really connected with Giannina
like after the show too. We didn't spend a ton of time together because, you know, she was still kind of seeing Damian, and that's come out publicly. Now they're still together.
Right. I like her a lot.
Yeah, she's a good choice. Awesome. And like,
he seemed really too chill for her to me. Like, she's super goofy, and you could tell that he was on the show, where I am in the show at least, he's so, like, romantic and reserved and, like, dramatic a little bit about it. Like, real nice, but I feel like she wants somebody that's going to, like, well, she wanted somebody that would just be a goofball at times. And I was like, why? This guy is, like, not a goofy dude at all.
Yeah, I think they balance each other out really well.
And it's cool to watch. I think you're always better on reality TV coming out barely being seen than coming off negatively. I always said that. I even said that on So You Think You Can Dance when I sat down with the producers, and they were like, well, what about this person? I was like, I'm not talking junk because I'm not going to win this show, but I'm not going to walk out of here looking like an a-hole to 30 million people. Like, that's not what I'm going to do. So I think you always end up in a positive light when it, you know, as long as it's not negative, right?
I agree. And there's only one, like, burning part of me that is wishing for something different, which is I would love to see myself fall in love through a wall. Like, I would love to see the facial expressions, not just mine, but hers. As we're
you want to see the footage, yeah.
Yeah, so not even like a desire for like the world to see it. Like, I don't really care.
Right.
You know, but I would love to see those moments, that progression, that evolution, like what actually happened when we were 4 feet away from each other but hadn't seen each other yet.
Yeah, what her facial expression was when you said certain things, or or vice versa, what yours was when she said certain things. And yeah, it's interesting. I never thought about that. That's but that stuff will never get shown from my experience in TV. You will never see those, just so you know.
You know, I'm secretly praying that someday, somehow, I come across someone on Netflix that's like, hey man, here's a key.
Yeah.
Go into the vault, check it out.
Yeah,
I'm hoping that before I die, I can see some of that footage or all of my footage.
Listen,
I think that'd be amazing.
Being a big reality star that I am, you know, on American Ninja Warrior, that I got, I got that 1.2 seconds on TV, so it's a pretty big deal. I tried to get that footage, man. I tried for a long time, and they won't do it. They got it locked down. So I hope you do, but they hold on to that stuff. There's a reason they took it out and they try to hide all of it.
Yeah, I get it. They own it. You know, yeah, they get to decide what to do with it, all that kind of stuff. But
well, let me know if you figure out how to get it.
Then we'll have to keep each other in the loop.
Yeah, for sure.
Figures out a way.
I love that, man. It's good talking to you, man. It's good to hear the stories. It's fun. It sounds like a really cool experience, and that only positive things ended up actually coming from it. Whether, you know, it may not have been love, but it was definitely positive relationships and learning experiences and whatnot, you know,
It's still happening. You know, the main cast members were just on Ellen yesterday. It's still progressing. So I can't wait to see where it goes. I'm so happy for my castmates that are really changing their whole lives based off of this crazy experience. And I can't wait for May 2nd, you know, selfishly to see some of the cast members fight and what they're fighting for and their stories unfold. So all of it, I'm so grateful for the experience. I'm grateful to you for being able to share the story and catch up with you. We'll see what comes next.
Yeah, no doubt. No, Matt, thanks, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah, Scotty. Great talking to you. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, buddy.
See ya.
Later. Again, thanks for checking out the podcast. Make sure you hit me on all my socials so we can hang out, be cool, be friends, be whatever the internet calls friends nowadays. @ScottyK on air across all social medias, and that includes TikTok now.